Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia, Cullen Steele in studio, making sure everything goes right for us. We'll have Steve Geller join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. At 4:30, Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com, talks to us about the LSU Tigers and trying to bounce back from really a tough loss against USC. And then at 5:20, my old pal, Jake DeLome, former NFL quarterback, former UL, it was probably Southwest Louisiana when he was there, not University of Louisiana, with the Saints, with the Panthers, and now he's the Panthers radio network analyst. He'll join me at 5:20, and we'll talk about Bryce Young's improvement heading into year two, and also a look at the Carolina Panthers, and his thoughts on the Saints also. He still has a house here in Louisiana, so he's kept up with the Saints quite well. Good news from the Saints front, first injury report, and every starter, projected starter, practiced today. Now, Marshon Lattimore with his hip was limited, and so was Willie Gay Jr. with a back injury, but they both participated in drills. So that was the good news to get Willie Gay Jr. back. From I think it was last Wednesday, the back started acting up on him and weren't sure about exactly what was happening, but he was back in limited participation today. And Pete Werner, who has a shoulder injury, he was a full participant. When you look at the Panthers, two guys that didn't practice today, both at tight end, Ian Thomas and Tommy Trimble. So they were a little short at the tight end position, and okay, if they're not practicing late, then you got some issues there, because they were using those tight ends quite a bit as pass protectors last year, and also in the running game, which was decent for them, wasn't great. But they signed Messiah Swenson. I saw him. He was at Arizona State. He was an undrafted free agent. He was on the practice squad of the Green Bay Packers, and they signed him off the Packers practice squad and put him on their 53-man roster. So Panthers here seeing some injuries at tight end, and you're going to have to attack that area. They don't have a big blocker there. Swenson, that's what he's known to do. He's a blocking tight end. Hasn't really been used much in the passing game. But, again, really good news with Willie Gay Jr. back at practice. Marshon Lattimore has been back at practice, but he was limited today. And the good news is every starter, every one of them, a projected one, was at practice today for the Saints. Bad news on the LSU front, and I feel awful about it. I've known John Emery Jr. since he was at Destrehan High School. I saw him play so much there, and got to meet up with him a couple times in the off season. And he was telling me about, you know, I'm way ahead of schedule with my knee. I know how hard he worked. He had ACL injury back early November, had surgery, and he looked to be making great progress from it. He was enthusiastic about coming back. He had a really good game against University of Southern California. And in practice yesterday, tears his ACL again. And so out for the rest of the season for John Emery Jr. Man, my heart goes out to him because, you know, when you cover guys, you sort of get to know them a little bit. And he came to a couple of our camps this summer. He didn't have to do it. He just decided he was going to show up, try to help the young guys in the area to get better as football players. And to see him go down again, it's in his sixth year. He's had a lot of injuries. He had a situation the COVID year with family members with COVID that passed away, didn't take care of his academics. He got ruled academically ineligible. He looked at everything right. He graduated in May at LSU, and he almost left. He almost left Louisiana. He was going to transfer to UCLA. And at the last minute, he decides, I think Brian Kelly made that phone call and convinced him to come back to LSU for another season. And then he goes down again. So, man, you know, you feel bad for John. He has really worked hard to get himself in shape and get back to being on the football field. It just hasn't worked out for him. And maybe he gets a seventh year, because I've seen that in college football today, too. You get another year of eligibility if he wants to, is going to be in big question. He is a super talented guy. had some problems, and he would always laugh because he knew what I would tell him. Don't put that ball on the ground. You're going to be watching. You're not going to be playing. And he was like, "Why you always tell me that?" I was like, "Because it's true. You're going to be watching. You're not going to be playing." And he really worked hard to get back in shape, get back from the ACL injury. But loss for the season, and we'll talk a lot more about that. That leaves LSU really, really thin at the running back position. And Caden is now going to be called upon, the true freshman running back, to give some carries there. So it would be Caleb Jackson, Josh Williams will be 1-2. And Caden Durham, who is a really talented young runner from the Texas high school ranks, he'll be called upon to be the number three guy. Brian Kelly, he made it pretty clear during the summer, I'm going to always be running back by committee. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm all about. But you lose one here in John Emery. And so, man, John, if you're listening, family members listening, man, we thinking about you, guy, because I know how hard you worked to come back for this. And to have another injury is really, really difficult. Come back, we'll talk a lot more about pro football, college football, and what's happening along the scenes right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTellier along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes. Hey, come meet Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss this coming Friday in Thibodaux, not far from where I live. WWL's dynamic duo will be at Rouse's Markets on the Nichols campus for a special edition of Sports Talk. And that Rouse's Markets almost right across from Thibodaux Regional Medical Center in the Little Mall area. So if you are familiar with there, you know exactly where it's at. We'll count down to the big football game between LSU and Nichols State. This was scheduled for 2020. The COVID year, and then it got canceled, so they've rescheduled it. First time Nichols State and LSU play, and we'll celebrate also the start of the NFL season. So come out and hang out with the Saints legend, Deuce McAllister, also the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss, at Rouse's Markets on the Nichols campus, 1030 South Acadia Road. Again, it's almost directly across from Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. Friday from 4 to 6, right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. This morning, the Denver Broncos reached an agreement on a new four-year contract for Patrick Surtain II. It's a $96 million extension, $77.5 million guaranteed, making him the highest paid defensive back in NFL history. Man, I'm getting old. I covered his dad when he was at a meeting, and he goes to Southern Miss. Had a great NFL career. Now he's coaching today in college football. And so that would put Patrick Surtain averaging $24 million a season when you look at it per year basis. The next one is Jaire Alexander with the Packers at $21 million. And A.J. Terrell, who just recently signed a new deal with the Atlanta Falcons, is $20.25 million. Denzel Ward, $20.1 million. And the old vet himself, Jalen Ramsey, $20 million a year. That would place at that $24 million, if he was a receiver, he'd be the 14th highest-ranked receiver. That's why all these guys, when they come to camps with us, I don't want to play cornerback. I want to play wide receiver or tight end. They're getting paid. But Patrick Surtain hit it big today, and a lot of people, he's not the best cornerback in pro football. Well, he's getting paid like it. And we talked to Mark Schlereth a little bit about this yesterday, and he felt that they would have a deal done before the start of the season with Surtain. So he comes up with a new four-year, $96 million extension. But even more important is that guaranteed money, $77.5 million. And he's making $3 million a year more than the number two guy, Jaire Alexander. All of this sets up things, and we're not trying to compare at this stage, but because I do think the Tyson Campbell contract is what you'll have to compare to. But Paulson Adebo, he'll be the next kind of Powerball winner for the Saints. But now Surtain setting the market, what Tyson Campbell did back in late July, set the young cornerback market for not maybe the upper tier guys, but guys from that 11 to, say, 22 range. And I think that's what the Saints are going to have to do. It's going to be in that range of what the Jacksonville Jaguars gave Tyson Campbell A former Georgia star was a second-round pick of the Jaguars. That's what they're going to have to pay Paulson Adebo, and he's the next guy for the Saints to cash in that Powerball winning ticket. When we come back, we'll have on with us Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.com, covering the LSU Tigers. And, man, how disappointing can it be? And no matter where you go today, that's the first thing I get. It's not a Saints question. It's, man, what the hell happened to LSU Sunday night? We'll talk to Glenn about it right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillia along with Cullen Steele in studio, making sure we all coordinated and settled right. Man, I made a faux pas on Patrick Surtain, the dad. I was just doing a fantasy football show. We're talking about Devontae Smith, who was from a meet. And I said Patrick Surtain was from a meet. No, he was an Edna Carr guy, terrific quarterback there, great all-around athlete. He was on that state championship basketball team for Edna Carr. They also won the football championship, I think, as a senior. He won a state championship in both basketball and football. I know he ran track. He talked about how good of a baseball player he was. Didn't quite have the grades to get in at LSU. That's where he wanted to go, and they got a commitment from him. But he ended up at Southern Miss. It all turned out right. Man, he turned out to be a fantastic NFL player for both the Miami Dolphins and Kansas City Chiefs. So it was Edna Carr High School, not a meet. I had too much Devontae Smith on the brain there. So we'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and we'll take with us Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.com, covering the LSU Tigers. Glenn, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it. Glenn, disappointment and even more disappointment today. And we had talked about this before with John Emery, that he had really, really worked so hard to get himself back. I think a lot of people felt, even myself, and I told John this, I didn't think he'd be back for game one. And he kept assuring me that he would be back for game one. Sure enough, and he made an impact there as a runner, also as a receiver. And then in practice, well, what happens? He tears up his knee again. Man, you talk about bad luck. That's been the case with John Emery here, one way or another. And man, you feel for the guy because he really, really worked hard to get back in shape, get his knee ready that he could play early in the season, and he certainly made an impact for the Tigers in game one.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, stuff just keeps happening to him. It's a really bad break for John, who, you know, like you mentioned, worked really, really hard to get back into this position where, you know, he could be an impact player for LSU, and that's exactly what he was in the second half. I mean, their offense absolutely does nothing in the second half if not for John Emery. So, you know, it's a big loss for them in a football context, but just starting with the person and just kind of the personal side of things, man, he's really worked hard, and it's really, really tough to see, you know, a player tears anything, you know, twice in 12 months. I mean, that's just a really, really, really tough thing to come back from, and you hope that he can, but definitely a very sad, you know, kind of development that happened in practice yesterday. We heard it was a non-contact kind of injury, and you know, those things, you know, I think they happen. You know, it's just unfortunate that it has to happen to a guy that's already been through it.
You kind of set me up with this the biggest disappointment in this game certainly is offensive line play. Now, I know we had talked about it the last couple times you on that this was the strength of LSU's football team. Up front, being able to move people. USC was 114th in the nation in total defense. I think they were 116th against the run. And LSU got just pushed around. They really didn't have a running game going. It was the physicality that we were looking for. You got a lot of penetration from the middle, and sometimes they kind of loaded the box on you, or they were trying to confuse Nussmeier. I saw exactly what they were doing. But the inability to run the football when you need to, Glenn, and have to, it was not there. And of anything that was disappointing, it was that.
Yeah, it was the single biggest takeaway I had from that game because, you know, I was right in that camp of, like, you know, this offensive line, if they are able to kind of develop in the run game and really prove that they could be a stout team run blocking, they have absolutely every opportunity to be one of the best units in the country. And that's not what we saw. I mean, this is an elite pass blocking team. We've known that for years. But unfortunately, they have not been able to match that in the run blocking game when the big games and the big moments have mattered over the last couple of years. And you know, look, I mean, the third and one play that, you know, that got stuffed when they went hurry up in the fourth quarter, that was a huge turnaround of momentum. Emory Jones, your third year starting right tackle, just kind of whiffed on a block, and they were able to get penetration and stuff. You know, I believe it was John Emory for a loss on that play. So, yeah, look, it was not a great first game from the running back perspective, because outside of that John Emory 39-yard run and one other 10-yard run, LSU was held to 63 yards on 23 carries. And when you don't have Jaden Daniels back there to help make up for some of the running inefficiency, and you have to, you know, really rely and lean on Garrett Nussmeier in the passing game, that kind of stuff happens. And, you know, you're not able to kind of move the offense, and LSU just fell into a really bad hole yesterday, or I should say on Sunday night, where they just could not get much movement in their offense in the second half. And specifically when they got into the red zone, they just were not able to capitalize all night. And I think that's probably my second biggest takeaway from the offensive side of things.
The other thing too, Glenn, red zone success, it wasn't there. And a lot of that had to do with the fact you couldn't run the ball.
Exactly.
One of the things, if you listen this week, and it was funny because normally Brian Kelly didn't point out about a player that should be playing more. Shelton Sampson. He brought his name up a couple different times. And, you know, he brought up before about, you know, last year, if it was these 50-50 balls, it was more like 20% he come up with it. And then sometimes he would drop it when it hit him in the hand. So there, I think he's telling you something without telling you that he wants to see Shelton Sampson on the field using that height differential that he has and that ability to get up in the air and make a play, especially short yardage red zone.
Yeah, look, you're going to be missing a couple of explosive weapons again this weekend. I mean, I think Chris Hilton and Kyle Parker, their status is still very much very questionable if they're going to be able to play this weekend. And look, you got some good things that happened from Aaron Anderson, who had a really nice second half on Sunday. Xavion Thomas, I think, is going to be a really cool gadget player that they can use in this offense. They've got C.J. Daniels, and they have Kyron Lacy for some length and some verticality in the offense. But, look, Shelton Sampson's a legit 6'4". You know, he goes up, and he can high-point the ball. And if he's able to hold on to it, there are not many cornerbacks or defensive backs or safeties that – we'll be able to keep him from bringing in a catch. And I do think that, you know, a big kind of bugaboo for Sampson in his first year and change has been that he hasn't been able to do that. Sounds like he's made some kind of progress this fall. If LSU's ready to put him out there in some more game action and see if he's ready to kind of take that physicality to the next level. But he's absolutely somebody that I would be targeting in red zone situations, in deep shot, you know, deep field, you know, looks down the field. He's got that explosive ability in his game, and we'll see if LSU's able to unlock it, because they've got to spread the ball around a little bit more. I think Nussmeier completed a ball to 8 or 9 different players in the game on Sunday, but you would still like to see guys like Sampson get involved and certainly contribute on a more consistent basis, and that makes this thing much more explosive and much more diverse.
Glenn, go back to the running back situation. Without John Emory now for the rest of the season, man, you awfully thin there. I mean, you talk about paper thin. You really paper thin with Josh Williams, Caleb Jackson basically kind of toting most of the water here of the rushing load. You're now going to have to lean on the freshman. And, you know, how much have you seen of Caden in practice, and or maybe a feedback of how well he's picked things up? Here's my biggest concern about Caden. I know he can run the ball, and he's got good eye vision. Can he protect? Because that part, man, if I'm Nussmeier, I was like, wait a minute. We know he can run the football. Can he pass protect? The one thing with Josh, now he may get run over, but he gives you a lot of effort. That was the big thing with Caleb, that, you know, he wasn't asked to do that, so he had to learn how to pass protect. Maybe a little rundown on how Caden has looked in practice or what you've heard, because I think that would be the big question mark for me, not as a runner.
Yeah, I mean, look, you made a fair point there. I mean, the reason that Caleb Jackson didn't see the ball, in my opinion, 12 to 15 times a game last year is because he just wasn't developed as a pass blocker and couldn't, you know, just wasn't ready for the little things in the offense that you know, he's made some strides in this offseason, and we'll see if he's able to kind of pick himself up after a pretty pedestrian first game for, you know, what was expected out of him in the USC game. But, yeah, look, Caden Durham was a guy that honestly did not get a whole ton of first-team reps when we were out there watching for the first couple weeks of fall camp. You know, it was really Emery and Williams and Caleb Jackson taking on the brunt of those responsibilities. But they're going to need Caden Durham to step up big time now. They're going to need him to kind of handle some short yardage work. And I would imagine that he gets a couple of carries at least in this Nicholls State game, because I do think that LSU's offense will be able to move up and down the field without little resistance, and you can save the legs of Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams a little bit more in this game than if you were to, say, play South Carolina this week. So I do think you have a little bit of time to get Caden Durham up to speed and ready to handle a little bit more of a workload, because LSU's going to need him. You can't go into a game with just two running backs and expect that they're going to be able to hold up for a 13-game schedule. So it's time to see him. I think he's an explosive back. He's got a lot of potential in this offense, but like you mentioned, there's probably an element of learning the little things here that we just haven't seen enough of yet to really give you a fair representation of what to expect from him on the field this Saturday.
Glenn, we get asked about it a lot, and I say, listen, all this court stuff has to be settled, but about Trey Holly. It didn't seem to be what Brian Kelly was talking about. It didn't seem that he would return this season. Your thoughts, is this something probably more for 2025 for Trey Holly to return if he returns back to the LSU team? Because it looked as though the legal stuff had kind of played almost to the end and almost like, you heard the brakes stop a little bit. And Brian speaking about the fact that he didn't seem to be talking about him for 2024.
Yeah, he hasn't been around the team either. He hasn't been at practice, hasn't been working out with the team. They've been trying to keep him in shape from afar, from what I understand. But, you know, his case right now, it was really looking like there was going to be some traction in July, but they pushed a hearing back into September 18th. And so that's kind of the next date you look at here for Trey Holly. And in terms of if he can get these things dismissed or if he's going to trial, we'll have to just wait and see on that. But September 18th is when this next hearing is supposed to happen, and we should get some more clarity. I would be very surprised if we see him at all this season, and unless they, you know, get to that 18th hearing or the September 18th hearing and they just drop the charges and he immediately is eligible and ready to go back to school and all that stuff. But he's not with the team right now. Don't know that he will be anytime soon, and we'll just have to wait and see what that September 18th hearing kind of tells us about his situation.
Sunday before the game, we had on Pete Jenkins with Jeff Palermo, and I, we were at Acme Oyster House doing the pregame show, and asked him about Savion. I got to see Savion Jones play so much when he was at St. James, and he was an undersized defensive end from a weight standpoint, not height standpoint, weight. I don't think he was 225 when he got to LSU. Matter of fact, I would question if he was even 220. Pete says, listen, Mike, blame that on me. I got him to put on some weight, and that he could play some defensive tackle because we were so shorthanded there last year. But he said, I saw it wasn't working, so we kicked him back outside. And he thought Savion would have a big season this year. Sure enough, man, he come out of the box, and Savion was really impressive, got a couple sacks, got some pressures, got a batted tip ball up in the air. So we see now the glimpse of the guy that when he came in, that he had the potential to be. And I know one thing, coaches told me this, Mike, he's going to be a better pro than he is as a college player.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think the media is kind of pumping their fists right now about the Savion Jones hype, because there was a lot of it coming out of fall camp that we got to see, and I think he's proved us right here after one game. I mean, he had two sacks. He had the deflection at the line of scrimmage that was almost picked off by Whit Weeks. I mean, he was – He was probably the one player that was consistently getting after Miller Moss and getting into that backfield and creating some havoc. And I will say that that was one positive that I think you can take away from the defense. They were they created opportunities to make plays. You know, they had a couple of chances at interceptions that they weren't able to capitalize on. They had a couple forced fumbles that they couldn't recover. So you know, there's progress being made there, and I think Savion's play is a big part of that. But you'd like to see LSU be able to capitalize some more and force some turnovers, get some game-changing plays and momentum swings to go their way on defense. Because, look, I thought the defense held up pretty well overall. I mean, through three quarters, Lincoln Riley's offense at USC had 13 points, and we're struggling to move the ball against LSU's defense. So, you know, look, there's some things you have to build on. Of course, the two touchdown drives there in the fourth quarter really killed LSU. But I really am pleased by Savion's play. I think he's going to be a guy that LSU leans on heavily going forward, and is going to have a really nice season. And we'll see if he goes to the NFL after this year. But certainly this first year was this first game, he's off to a really nice start.
One of the things, too, is the safety play. And I think we talked about it in the off season a few times. It's not going to be long before the puppies come into play. I mean, they're not going to be watching. They're going to be playing. And I think there's every indication that we're going to be seeing the two young backups in more than just a backup role.
Yeah. I think you're going to see a lot of DeShawn McBride, DeShawn Spears, I should say, this weekend. You're going to see a lot of Kylan Jackson this weekend next to Jordan Allen. You know, Jordan Gilbert on that last play of the fourth quarter that USC almost scored on. He got hit with that targeting call, and he'll have to miss the first half due to a suspension because he got, you know, when you have that targeting call and you get ejected in the second half, you have to miss the first half of the next game. So he won't be playing in the first half, and I think this is an absolutely huge weekend for DeShawn Spears in particular, because he's got a lot of fans in that building at LSU.
Yes,
and he didn't play a whole ton in the first game, and I think that was probably just, you know, LSU wanting to lean into the veterans. But I think if he goes out there and he shows that he's ready for this and ready to play at this level, LSU will absolutely lean into him more going forward. So this is a big weekend for him to kind of really assert himself as a key part of the rotation and maybe even a potential starter here going forward.
Glenn, this is the type of game in the second half you're going to see a lot of young guys, freshmen, redshirt freshmen, whatever. You're going to see that. Are you looking at anybody in particular? My first thought is Ricky Collins. You know, at the quarterback position, man. I don't know what happens. I think I know they go with the veteran here. But Ricky, I think, has flashed some moments here. And for him, he wants to get some game tape out there. Because if he's not the guy, if Garrett decides he's going to play another season at LSU, and he also sees that freshman from Michigan coming in, he wants to put some tape out there of the type of quarterback he is. And so I think Ricky Collins is one of the guys I want to watch. Is there anybody else that you're taking a look at as they play Nicholls State?
Yeah, look, I think Ricky's a good one that we could see in the second half. You know, I think we could see all three of those guys if LSU really pulls away, get a couple drives in the second half apiece between Collins and A.J. Swan and Colin Hurley, the young freshman. I wouldn't mind seeing him for a couple series at the end of the game either. But, you know, in terms of guys that, you know, could really show up here in the second half or kind of later in the game, somebody to maybe really watch is P.J. Woodland, the cornerback. I mean, he's probably going to play a lot in the first half of the game, but I think LSU would like to get a good long look at him opposite of Ashton Stamps and a couple of these other young defensive backs. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit more of JV and Tobiano at the star position behind Major Burns in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Joel Rogers, who's a safety. I think they really – this is a great opportunity for LSU to see what they have in their secondary in terms of their young players and guys that maybe could be a little bit further along in terms of playing on the field and during games. than maybe they've shown in practice. So we'll see. I think that there's a couple of guys that come to mind, the defensive tackle wise, maybe you get Ahmad Breaux and Dominic McKinley some reps up front. So there's a lot of guys that I think you could see, especially in that third, fourth quarter, if LSU's kind of done their business and pulled away some, that could be deserving of some opportunity and some game time.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All righty. Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.com, does a great job covering the LSU Fighting Tigers. We'll be back with one more segment before we go to break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Glenn West, senior writer for Go247, covering the Tigers, giving us a rundown as they play this coming Saturday against the Nicholls State Colonels. 5:20, Jake DeLome, former Saints, University of Louisiana, I think it was Southwest Louisiana back then when he played, now University of Louisiana. Now he's part of the Carolina Panthers radio network. He'll be joining us to talk Saints and Carolina Panthers. Voodoo Doctor, hang on. I'll take you right after our news break here on the Big 870. And also to Jamar Chase, was at practice for the Cincinnati Bengals. No new contract, limited in practice. Let's see if Mike Brown can get him that cash before game one. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. 70 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of sports talk on the Big 870. I want to thank Glenn West, senior writer for Go247, covering the Tigers, giving us a rundown as they play this coming Saturday against the Nicholls State Colonels. 5:20, Jake DeLome, former Saints, University of Louisiana, I think it was Southwest Louisiana back then when he played, now University of Louisiana. Now he's part of the Carolina Panthers radio network. He'll be joining us to talk Saints and Carolina Panthers. Voodoo Doctor, hang on. I'll take you right after our news break here on the Big 870. And also to Jamar Chase, was at practice for the Cincinnati Bengals. No new contract, limited in practice. Let's see if Mike Brown can get him that cash before game one. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.